Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host of the program, but more importantly, a father of five. We homeschool our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Dave Buter, also in the studio with me, another father of five. And just trying to give a little sense of what's happening in the breakdown of Western civilization. And looking at the news today, some pretty awful things happening in Mexico. Things are out of control, folks, on the border, on Texas. And, of course, a rancher recently killed on his own property. Somebody came over. Apparently, the officials tracked the killer back into Mexico. And Tom Tancredo, one of our ex-house reps here in Colorado, was down there investigating and had some comments on Fox News concerning that a couple of days ago. But the point of it is that things are falling apart in Mexico, folks. No law and order down there, as far as I can tell. This morning, and this is just brand new, I just ripped this off the press just before I got on camera this morning, residents of a small Mexican border town under siege by at least one of the country's most notorious drug cartels, now fleeing into a tiny Texas community, which is on high alert and preparing for a surge of illegal immigrants. We just got word that the cartel had threatened to kill children in schools across the border unless parents paid 5,000 pesos. At least 30 residents of El Port Venir, located about 4 miles from the Texas border town of Fort Hancock, have crossed into the U.S. and asked for political asylum, telling authorities that they fear for their lives. Folks, the border drug battles are out of control. I'm telling you, out of control. There is no effective government in Mexico. It doesn't exist. They're not doing government in Mexico anymore. Anarchy reigns. Whatever the government is doing, I guess they're just playing like a bunch of kids. They're not doing government. They're just playing around. Anarchy reigns south of the border, and it's affecting us here in Colorado too, Dave. We know some police officers who complain about the drug cartels and their influence in the state of Colorado. Almost nothing that American officials can do about this. It's spreading. It's spreading here too.
Well, there's nothing local American officials can do about it. Whether or not our federal officials can do something about it is a different question. But it turns out that the ICE agency is, the one that takes care of immigration and so forth, ICE is not very interested in deporting people from Mexico. They're not very interested in deporting criminals from Mexico.
They're busy deporting German homeschoolers.
Right.
The real problem. The German homeschool family that was persecuted, nice Christian family, sitting around homeschooling 6, 7, 8 kids out in Tennessee. You're just trying to get rid of that family. But that's the business of the U.S. government. Another terribly shocking story, though, that ties into this. Just picked this up last night, folks, and these stories tie in, I tell you, they tie in. We're going to get to a biblical perspective on this in just a moment, but listen to this. This is from Times Online in England. Over 3,000 white farmers have been killed since 1994. Now the ANC is accused of fanning the hate. A man walks through a field of crosses erected near Pretoria, South Africa, to honor mostly white farmers who've been killed in farm attacks over the past decade. And a gunman is walking silently through an orchard inside his farmhouse. Peter is sleeping. His 14-year-old daughter, his 12-year-old son are there as well. The intruders break in. The farmer wakes. He rushes to stop them, only to be shot twice in the chest. In his death throes, he would have seen his killers and then his children standing over him screaming and crying. Death has stalked South Africa's white farmers for years. The number murdered since the end of apartheid in 1994 is past 3,000. Folks, there are only 4,000 commercial farmers there are only 40,000 remaining white farmers in South Africa right now, and the vulnerability is being felt, especially after Julius Malema, head of the African National Congress's Youth League, opened a public rally by singing Dubu Ibnu, or Shoot the Boer, Shoot the Farmers, an apartheid-era anthem that was banned by the High Court last week. Malema's timing could hardly have been worse. Last weekend in the remote farming community of Colenso in KwaZulu, Nigel Ralph, 71 years old, a dairy farmer, his wife, Lynette, 64, were gunned down as they milked their cows. He was critically injured. She died. That same day, a 46-year-old Afrikaner was shot through his bedroom window as he slept at his farm in Potchefstroom. A few days later, a 61-year-old was stabbed to death in his bed at a farm in Limpopo. The resurrection of this song, defended by a senior ANC officials as little more than a sentimental old struggle song, has been greeted with alarm by Tom Stokes of the opposition Democratic Alliance. He said the ANC's continued association with the call to kill the Boers could not be justified. Any argument by the ANC that this song is merely a preservation of struggle literature rings hollow in the face of farming families who have lost wives, mothers, and grandmothers. He added, folks, 3,000 farmers killed since 1994. Out of 40,000, that's almost 10%. Imagine 10% of your county slaughtered, killed by raging bands of ANC-inspired warriors. And imagine that kind of anarchy raging in your county, wherever you happen to live. Imagine that. The worst crime rates in the world are happening in places like South Africa or Mexico, friends. And you want to know why this kind of thing happens? I'll tell you one reason why. Because of the Marxism taught by the ANC, the African National Congress. That's right. The Marxist envy is extremely, extremely harmful and has worked effectively in the hearts of a lot of pagans out there. Okay, there's pagans who have not received the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they are subject to this kind of teaching that comes from Marxism, and we see this happening in South America as well as in Africa. South Africa, of course, lost any semblance of Christianity when the ANC took over, and now violence and anarchy has been pretty much the name of the game ever since. So should the civil magistrate get involved in these sorts of things? I think they should. But let me say this first of all. Colonialism was a cheap way to try to change the culture of nations. It didn't work all that well. We tried colonialism in a lot of different ways. It does take more time to preach the gospel and get people saved. That is, build culture from the bottom up, family by family, family by family, by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Putting all of the pagans on reservations and getting them on welfare just to get the riffraff out of the way didn't really work all that well. Now, it turns out there were missionaries to the American Native Americans, the Indians, back in the 1600s. Guys like David Brainerd extended the word of God out to them all the way through the 1700s. We had some outreach to the Native Americans, and it was effective. To that extent. The problem is we have four worldviews working here. Number one, we've got paganism. Okay, so you've got these pagans, they eat each other, they're very violent, they tend to like to kill people a lot. That's what you find when you move into paganized areas where Christianity really has never made much inroads over, say, 2,000 years. That's what you find in Mexico. That's what you find in Africa. That's what you find in the South Sea Islands. You find pagans, and that's a bad worldview. A really bad worldview. And then you get empire-building colonialism that comes in, tries to fix the problem. Well, that doesn't work either. Then you get communism that comes in to destroy colonialism, and that creates even more misery. You talk about out of the frying pan, into the fire. You move from colonialism to communism, as you have in South America and Africa and so forth. You got bad, bad, bad humanist worldviews that are corrupting people right and left. Now, the fourth worldview is the gospel of Jesus Christ, where you build society from the bottom up by regeneration and discipling them to teach them to walk the ways of Jesus and all of the ways that Jesus has commanded in His Word, all 66 books. And that takes a long time. That takes generations to do that kind of thing. But the results are incredible. That's what happened in Europe. That's how you get European Christianity. That's how you get pretty solid countries that aren't running around killing each other, as you see in Mexico and Africa. And you get some pretty cool places like Sweden and England and France to some extent. Christianity has inroads in these countries, and there's a little more law and order in some of these places thanks to the inroads of Christianity. Of course, humanism, empire-building colonialism and such has pretty much destroyed all these nations, and communism and socialism now has pretty much finished the job. But here's my question. Is the civil magistrate really important for these nations? In other words, if you were to walk into these countries, like Mexico or South Africa, should you bring the Word of God to bear and apply God's law, not just to one's personal life, but also to the civil magistrate? I would say yes, of course. What I did, Dave, on this issue of South Africa and Mexico, I saw all this anarchy. I said, what's going on in these places? I typed into Google three words, capital punishment, Mexico. Capital punishment, South Africa. I did searches on these in the Google, and I wound up right away on Wikipedia and saw the map, and sure enough, Dave, the last capital punishment in South Africa was, the last capital punishment for murder in South Africa was November 14th, 1989. That's right. And since 1994, 4,000 dead farmers in South Africa. It has become the most dangerous nation in the world. And by the way, one of the other nations that's abolished all capital punishment since 1917 is one of the most anarchical countries in the world, has been for generations upon generations upon generations, a terrible, terrible country when it comes to the civil magistrate. It is the nation of Mexico. That's right, folks. The nation of Mexico, the nation of South Africa, they do not have capital punishment. They don't have a government. Why do we say that? Because of Genesis 9, verse 6, we had a little problem prior to the Great Flood. And as people didn't get along very well, and there was a lot of killing and mayhem prior to the flood. And then, of course, God destroyed the whole world. And then He gave Noah one law, one single law, one stinking little law, that if he applied appropriately, he would keep civil society together. One law, Genesis 9, 6. Just one civil law to define civil government. If you have a civil government, if you have a government, there is one law, one single, not 110,000 pages of Federal Register, as we have here in America. No, 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 no. There's one law, one law. If man should shed man's blood, by man should his blood be shed. That's just it, folks. That's a simple, simple, simple little law that if you bring this law to bear, you've got a civil magistrate, and that is capital punishment for murder. It is God's law, is one little tiny, tiny, tiny law. And of course, you've got to have a civil magistrate that trusts God, that he knows what he's talking about. And a civil magistrate would fight to incorporate this one single law. If you're a legislator, if you get involved in government, then you need to incorporate this one little law. And if you don't, you're just playing government. You are not a government. The South African government is not a government. The Mexican government is not a government. They're only children playing like they have a government. The throne is established in righteousness, folks. The rulers are established by God to be servants of God to punish the evildoer. That's Romans chapter 13. And if they do not punish the evildoer, if they do not take the one single law and apply this to bring about some kind of civil order in society, you're not a civil government, okay? The vigilantes basically rule in places like Mexico and South Africa. That's why you arm yourself. That's why you shoot these people. You have to have your own form of government. Vigilantes are throughout the nation of Africa. Dave, I just read, or in Mexico anyway, I just read recently a mayor in some town in Mexico, and he has taken the law into his own hands. He hires people, and he hires killers, and they run into these drug cartels, and they knock off these guys outside of, without any kind of a court of law or anything like that. But the vigilantes, of course, have to rule, folks, because there is no civil government in Mexico. Well, folks, the basic civil law that needs to be incorporated anywhere is Genesis 9:6. Look it up. God's really smart. He knows what he's talking about. We'll be back in just a moment to talk a little bit more about what to do when you've got cultures that are out of control. Stay with me. This is Kevin Swanson.
Classic? Not a classic. Classic? Not a classic. Classic? Not a classic. Get the classics. Christian classics from Generations with Vision. Available at generationswithvision.com.
Children, it's time for your classics lesson. Let's pick up on page 214 in Plato's Republic, shall we? Our women guardians must strip for exercise. Then their character will be all the clothes they need. They must play their part in war. Wives shall be held in common by all, and children shall be held in common, and no parent should know his child, or child his parent.
Women nude in the gymnasium? Women fighting wars? Wives held in common? No mom and dad for their kids? Why is that, Dad? Why?
Are you tired of the pagan classics? Try the other classics. The Christian classics.
Welcome back, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson speaking of genocide in South Africa. That's right, genocide in South Africa. Per a Times Online article that we picked off the internet this morning, 3,000 farmers dead since 1994 and a breakdown of government in the South African region. And the folks, again, I think we're going to go probably to the issue of race here, Dave, because the whole apartheid thing, the whole idea of shoving people off onto reservations was a bad idea. And I said it was a bad idea. I've already said that. But Dave, let's put to bed this whole racist thing. I am sick of racism. I hate the idea of racism. I hate the idea of race. That's how against racism I am, folks. I am against race. There is no such thing as race. We're all part of the same race, all right? We all came off of the ark, you know, with Noah and his family 3,500 years ago, 4,000 years ago. We walked off that ark, and we are all part of one race. Now, when some people do say, I want a president who's black, or I only want a president who's white, now, I've heard that. I gotta get a president who's black. I gotta have a president who's white. That's racism. That's racism. That means you prefer a skin color. It's like saying, I want a president with an innie belly button. I want a president with an innie belly button. I will have a president with an innie. Not an outie. I'm against outies. I will have a president with this kind of skin pigment, and I will have a president with this kind of a belly button. It's foolishness, Dave. Utter foolishness. Utter foolishness.
But would you vote for a man who was a redhead? I mean, knowing their temper and all.
No. Dave, of course, that's stereotyping. And folks, it has nothing to do with skin color, okay? Just put it out of your mind. Forget skin color. We ought to be judging people by the character of their heart, not by the color of their skin. Well, who's that? This is Martin Luther King, when they said something like that. In a clarion moment, he said something that was really good, and I agree with Martin Luther King on that point. Point is, folks, that, okay, you got a first black president. He's half white, and he's half Kenyan. Okay, so you got that guy. Big deal. Skin color doesn't make any difference. Now, if you want to say that there are people in Africa with something to add, there are people from certain cultures, not skin color. You forget skin color. If there are people from certain cultures, like, say, from Kenya, who have something to add, I say yes. Actually, Dave, I prefer African Anglicans than I would prefer, say, English Anglicans, because the African Anglicans still understand that this fixation on homosexual sex and other civilization-destroying habits is not a good idea. I think the African Anglicans have it together on that point.
Well, they seem to understand the law of God and uphold that better than some of the American Episcopalians and the English Anglicans, like you've said. Of course, we have things to learn from other people. It's hubris to think that we've got it all figured out or that we're the best or that my family is better than your family. I mean, when you go back and you look at the biblical record, you'll find that eight people walked off that ark. Now, a lot of animals, but eight people. None of those people were Italian. None of those people were Chinese. None of those people were English. None of those people were French. They just all happened to belong to the family of Noah. Now, they went and settled different lands, and that's where we get these names. After the Tower of Babel, there was certainly a tongue, a difference in language that God used to separate people, and apparently some physical characteristics were separated out at that time also. But there were eight people, all of them human, all of them created in the image of God, all of them corrupted by the fall of sin of Adam, and all of them Christ died for.
And to be honest with you, Dave, I'm a little sick of this fixation upon Western white culture. I am. I'm a little sick of this idea that somehow Western civilization is the only cultural expression of Christianity. Actually, I think that the culture of Western civilization has run its course.
It's become entirely humanistic, existentialistic. It's rotted to the core. It's birth imploding everywhere. I'm not all that impressed with the whites, to be honest with you. Again, I shouldn't say the whites. I should say the people who show up from Europe and North America. I think we've lost the faith. And it's time to reincarnate a Christian faith, and it could be. It will happen in Africa. Because as it turns out, a lot of Africans aren't given to this this horrific idea of humanism and this pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, pro-birth implosion, existentialistic philosophy that's shot through almost the entire corpus of Western Christianity. Now, I think the Africans, Dave, have something to add. That is, if they haven't attended American universities and get screwed up there. I mean, occasionally you get a Kenyan who winds up in American university, becomes a good little Marxist, and gets all screwed up. And I'd rather that not happen.
But he's got unlimited potential because he could grow up and be president.
I don't want that happening. I don't want that happening. I'd rather you not come to American universities. Please, just, you know, maybe stay in Kenya or stay out of the American universities anyway, and maybe learn some scripture and get the proper worldview down straight, and then maybe you can transform your culture to the glory of God and not destroy your nation, destroy freedoms with Marxism.
Yeah, I think Marxism is part of what's at play here in South Africa, particularly, not so much in Mexico, but in South Africa, where the Marxist revolution, they have to take the land owners, those who own the capital. Those are the problem. Those are the bourgeois. They have to be leveled. They have to be brought down. Now, it turns out that in South Africa, because of the days of apartheid, that the landowners are the people who are white, so they're easy to identify. So you have racism working right beside Marxism. The proletariat and the bourgeois are very easy to identify. It's like watching an old World War II movie. You could tell who was who by the helmet. Well, in South Africa, you can tell who owns the means of capital and who doesn't by the color of their skin. And so Marx says it doesn't matter how you go ahead and take over those means of production. Violence is good as long as you have the right ends in mind, and the ends justify the means. And, of course, their ends means that everybody suffers equally.
And the ultimate ethic is egalitarianism. That is, everybody gets the same amount of money. Everybody gets the same talent. Everybody gets the same income. Everybody gets the same status. Everybody gets the same. That's his ethic. Of course, that's not a biblical ethic, and it destroys societies. It's a really, really bad ethic. Now, as it turns out, the Bible has its own set of ethics, and we would recommend those. And as you get into new cultures, you're going to find sins that identify certain cultures. And you've got to have to address yourself to those sins. You walk into a cannibalistic culture, you don't say, well, just because they're black, they're cannibalistic. It's all the matter of their skin pigment. No, it's ridiculous. Get rid of the color of their skin. Please, don't even refer to them as black or white as if this is some kind of a unique race. It's not. We're all part of the same human race here. They may have a culture, whether their skin color is this or that, or they have X number of nose hairs, or they got an innie or outie belly button. Who cares? Who cares? Don't identify them that way. If they've got a sin that seems to characterize them, and they've been eating people on weekends, then deal with the sin of cannibalism. Say, stop cannibalizing each other. If they've got a problem with theft and shooting farmers in the head, then say, stop shooting farmers in the head. Stop envying your neighbor based upon how much money he has. And by the way, stop making materialism the number one measure of whether or not you're successful, whether you have any value or purpose in life, because that's the fundamental problem with materialism and Marxism and capitalism and all these other isms that is destroying the humanistic West. You know, get to the real sin issues, address those sin issues, and teach them to observe whatsoever God has commanded in His Word. Teach them to work hard, to be diligent, to be honest, not to kill the guy who makes more money than they do, but to be honest, to work hard. And not to give way to bribery, which is what happens in places like Mexico all the time, and South Africa, and most of the African nations. There's bribery everywhere, and it destroys nations. Teach them the book of Proverbs, which just about every chapter tells you not to take a gift, not to take a bribe for the sake of justice. Teach them the book of Proverbs. Teach them the Word of God. Raise them, disciple them in the words of God, and teach them to live that way. Dave, it's a bottom-up proposition. I know it doesn't happen overnight, and that's what, of course, all the Marxists and colonialists thought. They could just somehow impose this civil law on everybody. Now, I believe in one civil law. I've already said that. You got to hang the murderers. Do it on Saturday. Make sure it's expeditious after a proper court with two or three witnesses, and where the witnesses are good witnesses. Hopefully, you can prove out the witnesses are good, and deal with the murderer. Okay, you can do do that. That's the civil magistrate. But about 99.99% of the job is not going to be what the civil magistrate does. It is what missionaries do. It is what pastors are doing. It is what fathers and mothers are doing as they teach their children God's word. The book of Proverbs, as they sit in the house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. Dave, it's not rocket science. This is not rocket science. It just takes a lot of work.
It does take a lot of work. And I don't think we should minimize, though, how important is the national leaders. You know, when you're all on the bus together, the bus driver is a very important guy. When your national political system or your local politics, your civil magistrate is leading by bad example, say he's engaged in theft, maybe he's doing a whole bunch of kickbacks and earmarks and all kinds of different fancy names for bribery and getting legislation passed, historic legislation even. And it's based on bribery. You're going to expect that the whole nation will follow that example because he's a leader. Now, if the nation is all engaged in bribery and the leader isn't, he's leading a bunch of people who aren't going to follow anyway. So you really need both and. But if a nation is being led by a guy who says he doesn't want to punish his daughter with a baby, you're going to have to expect that the people are going to say, well, maybe life isn't important. If it's not important when my daughter has a baby, maybe it's not important when she has a grandmother.
And euthanasia is right around the corner, I think, in this country as well. Folks, you're going to rebuild society. If you're going to build society at all, it's going to be one family at a time. And I think the best place to start is the Word of God. And the book of Proverbs, it's so practical. It's so basic. It addresses all aspects of life. And I think it is the basic building block of all economies, all political societies, all civil governments. It is the basic building block of human social systems. And if you are not teaching your children the book of Proverbs, you're giving them a substandard education. That's one of the reasons why I went straight to the book of Proverbs and did a family Bible study guide on the book of Proverbs. I think it is the most basic discipleship manual you will ever use in your life, because it starts with God's word, God's book of wisdom, God's book on life, God's book on discipling, giving an education to a young man or a young woman. If you'd like to get a copy of that and disciple somebody in South Africa or somebody in your own home, either way, go ahead and grab a copy of my book, the book of Proverbs, God's Book on Wisdom, a family Bible study guide today at KevinSwanson.com. You can, again, purchase these materials at our website, KevinSwanson.com, where you can catch this program anytime, anywhere in the world, even South Africa or Mexico. Grab our program every day at KevinSwanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
I wonder if you can still get it in Venezuela.